For all the differences between President Biden and his predecessor, some things remain the same. Biden has changed the outlook of U.S. foreign policy, more talk of democracy, more alliances, but has kept some of Trump's policies. And that is true in the Middle East, which the president visits this week. Biden will re-engage with Saudi Arabia after first wanting to isolate it, and he has embraced the Abraham Accords, a diplomatic deal involving Israel and several Arab nations. NPR White House correspondent Asma Khalid joins us now to explain. Good morning.
Good morning.
What are the Abraham Accords?
Well, Steve, these deals were brokered by the Trump team in late 2020 to normalize relations between Israel and a few Arab countries, including Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, and Morocco. And this name, Abraham Accords, was something that Donald Trump used because Abraham is the father of both Judaism and Islam. These agreements have opened up the door to things like flights and tourism, and a senior Israeli official told reporters last week that they have seen major investments with the UAE. In fact, over $1 billion in less than 2 years, and hundreds of thousands of Israelis visiting the Gulf. These accords were the first deal that any Arab country had made with Israel in 26 years. And we are seeing the Biden White House, you know, not only supporting these agreements, but now trying to build on them.
What's President Biden like about the deal?
You know, the president broadly wants to see a stable, secure Middle East that does not erupt into conflict. And his team sees the Abraham Accords as a tool that could promote stability. They talk about encouraging Israel's integration into the Middle East. It's a region that has long seen Israel as an unfriendly country in their neighborhood. And President Biden himself spoke about the need for this kind of economic relationship recently when he was asked about this upcoming trip.
Part of the purpose is the trip to the Middle East is to deepen Israel's integration into the region, which I think we're going to be able to do, and which is a good for peace and good for Israeli security. And that's why Israel leaders have come out so strongly for my going to Saudi.
This trip to Saudi Arabia suggests Biden would like to build on a new vision of the Middle East, a vision that Trump laid out in September of 2020 when he welcomed officials from Israel, Bahrain, and the UAE to the White House, and he declared it a historic moment.
After decades of division and conflict, we mark the dawn of a new Middle East.
Trump was celebrating the official signing of the Abraham Accords.
These agreements prove that the nations of the region are breaking free from the failed approaches of the past.
This was just a couple of months before the election, and candidate Joe Biden was taking every opportunity he could to point out how he would govern differently than Trump. But what struck me at the time was just how quickly he praised this deal. In a statement that very same day, Biden said that he welcomed the news and that if he won the election, he would, quote, build on these steps. But as president, Biden has been busy with China, Russia, and withdrawing from Afghanistan. Then, in late March of this year, at a summit in Israel, Biden's Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, said the U.S. is fully committed to expanding cooperation through the Accords.
The Abraham Accords are making the lives of people across your countries more peaceful, more prosperous, more vibrant, more integrated.
Normalization is becoming the new normal, he said. But then he underscored how the Biden approach to these accords would be different from the way Trump did it.
We have to be clear that these regional peace agreements are not a substitute for progress between Palestinians and Israelis.
At least rhetorically, they're saying that they understand that normalization between Arab states and Israel can't come at the expense of the Palestinians.
Khaled Al-Ghindi is a former advisor to Palestinian leadership, now at the Middle East Institute.
Whereas in the Trump and Netanyahu days, they were pretty open that this was designed to marginalize the Palestinians, to weaken them, to take away leverage, to sort of force them to the negotiating table.
Since 2002, Arab countries, led by Saudi Arabia, had this ultimatum that they would not normalize relations with Israel until an independent Palestinian state was established. That consensus collapsed with the Abraham Accords. Arab countries were willing to bypass the Palestinian issue. And it really was a fundamental shift in the region. Yusuf Al-Otaiba is the UAE ambassador to the U.S. He was intimately involved in negotiating his country's deal.
We changed the paradigm. And we said, all right, well, let's do business with Israel. And hopefully, once we have more Arab voices, more influence, more seats at the table, we can have more of an influence on Israel as we talk about the two-state solution.
But in Washington, whether or not the Accords solve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, there's agreement that they are worth pursuing. In the first 48 hours after the UAE-Israel deal was announced, Al-Otaiba said he spoke with 24 members of Congress, about half Republican, half Democrat.
And the question I got from every single one of the 24 is, what country's next?
Al-Otaiba really credits top Trump officials, including the former president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, for getting this deal done. He's not sure it could have happened without them.
I think we had the right people in the right places at the right time. All of my engagement was with the U.S. administration. I did everything through the United States.
So then I guess my question is, if it was the right people in the right room at the right time, like, can it be replicated, duplicated, and expanded upon with a new administration?
Yes, of course. It's just going to be a different method, different style, different technique. Yes, but it can be done.
Aaron David Miller worked as a Middle East negotiator in both Republican and Democratic administrations. He says the Trump administration used a lot of tactics that Biden probably would not. Trump, for example, announced on Twitter that the U.S. would side with Morocco over a disputed territory in North Africa.
I doubt whether any Democratic administration would have given away sovereignty over the Western Sahara in exchange for upgrade in relations between Israel and Morocco. That's Trump's transactional style.
And without those generous quid pro quos, it's not so clear who is willing to sign up.
Okay, Asma, so how can Biden build on the existing diplomacy then?
Well, on this trip, the president is going to be flying from Israel directly to Saudi. And, you know, Steve, that in itself is kind of symbolic because these two countries do not have an official relationship. I do want to be extremely clear here, though. Nobody is expecting Saudi Arabia and Israel to normalize relations after this trip. There are reports of some incremental first steps, such as allowing Israeli planes to fly over Saudi, but really expectations are kind of low.
NPR's Asma Khalid will be along for the trip, whatever happens. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, Steve.